Menno Skilthausen is one of a growing number of urban ecologists studying how our man-made environments are accelerating and changing the evolution of the animals and plants around us. In his new book, Darwin Comes to Town, he takes us around the world for an up-close look at just how stunningly flexible and swift-moving natural selection can be. Menno Skilthausen is a senior research scientist at Naturalist Biodiversity Center in the Netherlands and professor of evolutionary biology at Leiden University. Again, the name of the new book is Darwin Comes to Town, How the Urban Jungle Drives Evolution, and it's a great pleasure to welcome, let me get the right number here, there we go, there's the button. Menno Skilthausen, thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thank you, too. I'm here.
Very nice to have you on the program. I enjoyed this book immensely. What brought you to the topic overall?
Well, I'm really interested in evolution, obviously, because I'm an evolutionary biologist. But what I really find important is to, for myself, but also for my students and for the general public, to realize that evolution is not something you need to go to faraway places for to observe, and you don't need to study fossils or wait for millions of years to see it happening. It's a very fundamental, very mundane process that's going on all around us all the time, and you can observe it in your backyard. And that's why I think urban evolution is such a great subject, because it brings this process of evolution very close to home.
When you look at this evolution, and I know the answer to this is it depends, but how fast does it take? So when you talk about like a lizard in Mexico evolving feet that can better grip surfaces like concrete, are we talking thousands of years? Are we talking hundreds of years? Are we talking decades? What is that evolutionary process timeline?
Yeah, as you say, it depends, but it can be extremely fast. In the case of the lizards, it's tens of years, it's decades. And in most of the examples I mention in my book, we're talking about decades. It depends on a number of things, on how big the difference is between having a certain characteristic or not, in difference in terms of how well the animals or plants survive. It also depends on how many generations or how long it takes for a new generation to appear, because that's sort of the evolutionary clock speed. And insects can have several generations per year, so they can evolve more rapidly than many other animals or plants. But by and large, we see that in these urban evolution examples, we're talking about decades, sometimes even years.
So let me ask this question and just get it out of the way, which is, so you look at how these man-made environments are accelerating and changing the evolution of the animals and plants around us. Is that good or bad?
Well, it's neither good or bad. It's happening. It's in terms of the evolution of life on Earth, there has never been good or bad. It's a natural process that takes place. Whenever the environment changes, evolution kicks in and makes species adapt. But also, if they cannot adapt, they will go extinct. And that's where the good and bad comes in, because we often find it sad when species go extinct. And urban evolution, if it happens, is, you could say, in that context, a good thing, because it helps species survive which may otherwise have gone extinct. But in addition to the species that manage to adapt to a changed environment, there are lots of other species which do not manage to adapt, and they probably go extinct, at least locally in areas that are strongly urbanized. So you could argue that for them, urban evolution did not end well, because they didn't manage to adapt. And there's lots of species like that for which we still need these pristine environments, and we cannot rely on urban evolution for them to survive.
So, and just before I move on here, but when you look at climate change and the effects that it has on temperatures and water levels and so forth, I mean, these are species that are adapting to our changing climate, whether it be urban or non-urban, correct?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And also in urban conditions, you often do get a different climate, because which is not a global climate, but it's an urban climate, which is called the urban heat island. So in cities, in addition to global climate change in cities, you also have local climate change with temperatures sometimes up to 10 degrees Celsius higher than in the surrounding countryside, and animals are also adapting to that.
Because, I mean, a lot of this is because of us, right? A lot of this, they're adapting because of what we're doing to their surroundings.
Yeah, absolutely. We're really changing the environment in an extremely drastic way. So in many aspects, cities are extreme environments. They're just as extreme as deserts or hot springs or other places where life exists, but it needs very extreme measures to be able to survive there. And we see the same thing in cities where, you know, you have mostly impervious surfaces and you have this urban heat island, you have pollution, you have noise, and all kinds of other conditions that create an environment that is very different to what most species of animals and plants are used to.
What is the history of urban ecology in the sense of when you look at decades or even centuries ago, let's go back 100, 150 years, as cities were developing and growing, were we still seeing this rate of evolution among the creatures that lived in these man-made environments?
I lost you there for a second. Could you repeat the question?
Sure. So if you look at, say, 150 years ago, and you look at as cities develop, as New York City develops, as Philadelphia develops, as Los Angeles develops, 150 years back, were species still evolving as a result of these man-made environments? What is the sort of history of this urban ecology, or is this something of a more recent phenomenon?
No, I think it started right from the beginning that people were building cities, but it has been accelerated as cities have grown. But there are some very good old examples also of urban evolution. One of them is the textbook example of the peppered moth that many people learn about in school, where these moths with their dark wings are better camouflaged against the polluted surface of trees in England, in 19th century England during the Industrial Revolution. And that's actually a very good example of urban evolution changing the appearance of an insect in this case, which happened at the time that Darwin was still alive. But he wasn't aware of this example, and he probably would have loved it if he had known that the process that he discovered could actually be so powerful and work so fast.
So if we're marching toward overpopulation, is it, if you have to bet on us or the creatures and the nature around us, bet on nature, right?
Yeah, it is nature, and it is, you know, humans in cities, they concentrate a lot of resources in a very small area, and nature will always try to take advantage of that, and we provide. For birds, we provide nesting opportunities for many animals. We provide food for plants. We provide places where they can germinate. So I think humans cannot be seen as separate from that urban ecosystem. We're part of it. We provide a lot of the energy input for these other species to survive with us, just like you find other animal species living in ant nests or in termite nests. It's the same process of evolution helping species to adapt to what they call an ecosystem engineer, a species that creates its own environment like we do. And I think if cities are going to be with us for the next few centuries, then this urban ecosystem will continue to evolve and to adapt around humans as their major provider of resources.
Menno Skelthausen's new book is Darwin Comes to Town, How the Urban Jungle Drives Evolution. The book is published by Picador, out in hardcover. Menno, thank you very much for joining us. A great pleasure. Thank you for the very interesting discussion.
My pleasure. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.